Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're in a series called Called Out. This series, we're in the 16th week of the series, going through the book of Acts. I'll give you the title of my message. It's Bootleg Disciples. Father, we thank you that you call us to a level of authenticity in the way that you are authentic and in the way you laid your life down for us. You weren't all talk, but you walked the walk all the way to Calvary. And so, God, we come thankful for your grace and your mercy towards us today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come speak to your children. Lord, I want to move out of the way that we hear directly from you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who I'm meeting for the first time, just a little bit about myself. I grew up in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm Samoan by ethnicity I've been here for 3 years in Australia, but before that I lived in Singapore for 8 years, so I'm a Polynesian. One of the experiences I enjoyed being in various parts of Southeast Asia, not so much in Singapore, but definitely in Malaysia, Indonesia, definitely in the Philippines. Shout out to the Philippines. But various parts of Southeast Asia, one of the things I like to do, I never would shop there, but I like to look, was to go to the markets where they sold bootleg stuff. And for those of you who aren't familiar with bootleg stuff, you know, the inauthentic stuff, like here's an example here. We've got some Coogee bags. How many of you familiar with Coogee? And there's also Hugo Boss. I like taking photos of this stuff, you know, like going there. And here's another one. Adidas. You got to be careful sometimes, eh? Because usually that means that the material of which it's on it, it's not very good. Like if you get an Adidas shirt from a bootleg place, if it shrinks, it might say AIDS. So you better be careful. The other favorite, if you want a pair of shoes, you get the Calvin Klein. Here, this one's for the gamers in here. How many gamers do we have? All right. And also for the Islander gamers, apparently. The PlayStation. And apparently the PlayStation's made by Nintendo, not Sony. And if you prefer to take your gaming more portable, you can get the Game Child. I was just confused by this bag. I saw this bag, and I was just confused by it. It's just way too much going on there. So, you know, what ended up happening is I got hungry, and I ended up going to this place. That actually exists in Shanghai, that place in China. I haven't been to it, but I heard about it. KFG, Kentucky Fried Chicken. The question I wanted to ask you, my brothers and sisters, is, are you authentic? How real are you? Is the you that you present the real you? When we were looking at this scripture, I mean, think about this scripture again. We're seeing people who presented themselves as authentic, but inevitably were bootlegs, were inauthentic in their presentation. Now, check this out. We'll go back to the scripture, verse 11. God is doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them and evil spirits came out of them. So like even the stuff that would touch his skin, and this is not Jesus, this is Paul, were given to those who were ill and they were completely healed. And then some of the itinerant and Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims. It's Jesus whom Paul proclaims, not they proclaim it. It's through Paul. And these guys sound like an R&B band, the Seven Sons of Sceva. Sound like a... Shoop, seven sons. Like seven sons of Sceva, sons of a Jewish high priest. They were the ones doing it. So check this out. They observed what was hot at the time. And this is something, you know, especially for those of you who are in in this room today and you are Christian, to be careful not just to copy a form that you find happening somewhere else, but to know the God of the power behind that form. A lot of times we can attend conferences or we can observe what happens in certain movements, and that may work in business, right? Like, you can take some forms, but when you are trying to duplicate the power behind that form, Paul is clear in warning us that we should not be adhere to a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. And so this is what is happening in this instance, is they are trying to duplicate power, not just form, but power. But the power is only found in relationship with God. You cannot pretend or manufacture a relationship, an authentic relationship with God. And so this is why they proclaim Jesus, whom Paul preaches, whom Paul proclaims. And I love, you can just hear the demon, right? Or the demons, the way they, kind of Gollum sounding guys. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize, but who are you?" Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Who are you?" "Hello, it's me." And the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them, mastered all of them and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. So what ended up happening from this is that seven sons of Sceva ended up being demonized, and they ran and fled, and it freaked everybody out, put a healthy fear of God actually in the people. And they ended up, we actually read about it in the next verse, and a number of those, in verse 19 of chapter 19, number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So this is stuff that they had invested years in. The worship of false gods, the witchcraft, the Ouija boards, the horoscope stuff. They took it and they all burnt it because they realized that this was just an imitation of what the real God offered and the power of the Holy Spirit that can be found in this relationship with Him. Now, I want you to notice what happens. There's this eradication, this complete cleansing of their own homes and houses from all of this stuff. And God continues to move in a powerful way. And in verse 20, "So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily." I wanted to ask you that question that demonized man asked, because I had to ask myself that question too. And I think it's healthy for us to ask that question. Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? Who am I? I think when we come to the essence of what differentiates Christianity from other religions, we begin to understand that Christianity, and I know it sounds cliche, but Christianity is a relationship, not just ritualism found in a religion. It is based on our ability to relate to God, and that ability is found by His grace. It's not founded on my own effort, on my own self-righteousness. I am a born-again follower of God because He loved me first. Are you with me? Anybody else get that? That's what differentiates it. It's not my ability to follow Him. It's His grace finding me. And because of the grace that found me, the wretched sinner that I was, and the proclivity that I have towards sin, He still chooses to love me. And by His grace, I overcome sin and the grave. And now I live a life of victory because of what He's done for me. That's the essence of the gospel. And that's what differentiates Christianity from any other religion, is that you don't perform your way into some form of righteousness or some form of relationship with God or to nothingness, nirvana. You realize that your performance is like filthy rags in the sight of God. But it's the relationship that has been made available to us through the grace of God, through His cross, that enables us to walk in this power that He gives us. And through that relationship, we walk in that miraculous power. And this is something that I really want you to realize Everybody in this room, look, we can play church. We can show up every Sunday. Or we can come expectant as sons and daughters of the living God to move powerfully in our society, to move powerfully in our businesses, to move powerfully in our life groups, to move powerfully in our families, to move in that miraculous power that was made available to us through the cross. Or you can be a Christian and just get by. The objective of Christianity is not just to make it into heaven. The objective of Christianity is for Jesus Christ to walk in us and through us and express himself through us as followers of him. That's the objective. Jesus is the objective, not heaven. I don't know if you realize that. It's a sad day when most of us are running towards heaven and would not recognize it if Jesus was not there. If you don't like worshiping Jesus, I'm not talking about singing these songs. I mean, just loving him and loving to exalt him and worship him. You're not going to like heaven very much. Because heaven is a place where that happens for eternity. When we come in connection with the purpose and the reason why we were created is to glorify him forever, you're going to be doing that forever. And the fact of the matter is, like I said last week, every single one of us was created to glorify, to worship. And we were created to worship him. But we end up worshiping other things, smaller gods, and find ourselves dissatisfied and trying to fulfill ourselves in the worship of money and career and sport and this and that, whatever those idols may be. I'm here to tell you today, the good news is if you smash those idols and worship the one who will fulfill you, that you will find everything that you need in Christ. But it takes knowing him. And some of us are just happy to have prayed the sinner's prayer just to get in, just to make it, but not enter into a relationship. And we wonder why it's a roller coaster. Like we're passionate for God in one sense, and then the other sense we're not passionate for him. Like where we know how to worship him when we're in a season where it's exciting to follow him. But when the rubber meets the road and when the stuff hits the fan, so as to use Sunday church language, because it does hit the fan. And when it does hit the fan, we choose to walk away from. No. That's actually the time when our relationship with Jesus matters the most. See, it's at those times where we actually can't just copy a form of power. And that's why the world gets to us. How many of you have noticed, like, there are going to be times, no matter how strong you are as a follower of Jesus, there are going to be times that you will be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. But it's this relationship, it's the strength of this relationship and how well you're founded in this relationship with God that will determine your ability to overcome that temptation. 1 Corinthians is clear that there is no temptation which is uncommon to man, meaning every single one of us is walking through some form of temptation, and we would even be tempted to believe the voice in our head that say, nobody understands what you're going through. I'm here to tell you that there is one who understands what you're going through, and he has provided, as 1 Corinthians also says, he's provided a way out of that temptation. But will you trust him? To trust him is to know him. I'm here to tell you and encourage you today, if you're a Christian in here, if you're a follower of Christ, please don't settle for what you know of him right now. Go deeper. Pursue him harder. Go stronger in your relationship with God. Isn't it amazing how in every single other area of our lives, whether it's our physicality, going to the gym, trying all these supplements, or our intelligence, where we'll expand ourselves through reading and updating ourselves through blogs. Or our popularity with just checking how many people liked our last Instagram post. Promise I didn't filter it. Yeah, whatever. Trying to increase in popularity and strength in the way you look. You know, I woke up like this. Increase your capacity in every single other area. But when it comes to spiritual things, we become so lazy in our pursuit of our relationship and knowing God. I'm here to tell you today, if you're a follower of Christ, don't be lazy in your pursuit of him. Yes, you're not saved by works, but you were created for good works, so that when you're saved, you realize that you were saved towards those good works. And it's in the passion of pursuing God in prayer. I'm here to tell you, you know, like I'm just reading this book by a guy named Pete Grieg, who talks about the 24/7 movements of God in prayer. And he defines prayer from the Greek word as being able to find rest. I was just like blown away by that definition, that prayer is linked to rest. that prayer helps us to turn the noise down of life and begin to trust God out of this relationship with Him. You find rest in prayer. But so, like, if I was to ask you this question, and again, it's not about amounts, like how much do you pray, like how much time do you spend in prayer? But can we, because if we count it by quantity, every single one of us, especially those who are like kind of self-righteous a little bit, or we wear the humble badge, you know, like I'm humble and I'm proud of it, cancels each other out, that's right. But like, you know, it doesn't equate to much when I ask you the question, do you think you pray enough? I think every single Christian in this room will say no. Like, I wish I could pray more. My heart for us, and that's a challenge for myself. I realize, you know, as I make this announcement, it's going to be a faith stretch. The announcement I made before about us entering into our own, having our own facility to be able to do what God's called us to do, and facilities from there. Like, yes, we'll lease for a season, but I'm believing we'll buy, you know, and then we'll start to buy more as we start to reach more of this city. That's where we're going as a church, to reach the community that we're in, to impact this city. We're not going to be a holy huddle of, you know, trapped in four walls that nobody in this community hears about. And it's not for the name of Every Nation Brisbane, but the power of being able to do this comes from this relationship we have in God. And a lot of that, to be completely honest with you, is drawn from prayer. It's drawn from relating to Him. It's drawn from being able to read Scripture, and not just read Scripture to fulfill some U version tick box. It's not just to fulfill a checklist, my brothers and sisters. It's to meet Jesus in the Scriptures. Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you, Nelly? Who are you? I never want that to be said of me. How strong is your relationship with God will determine the power that you walk in as a son and daughter of God. Now, I'm going to break this down from an even more familiar scripture. Matthew chapter 7, and some of you will be familiar in the way that I break this scripture down. So hang with me, all right? In verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, everybody say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I want you to catch this. And some of you may have heard me say this before, but I think it bears reiterating. The reason for repetition of a name is usually to catch the attention of somebody who you don't know, who you're not, the voice you're not familiar with. Many of you will have heard the example that I use. Like, if I had to go to Garden City, the mall that I seem to be at almost every second day, and if I'm at the end of that mall and I can hear my wife's cough. She doesn't cough like that. But if I was to hear her cough, because I know her intimately, she doesn't even have to call me once because I know where she is. So at the mention of Nelly, Nelly, then I'll run to her beck and call. Yes, my queen. As you wish. Throwback to Princess Bride there. But because I know her intimately, I know her voice, she only has to call me once. In fact, she doesn't need to call me at all because I know every breath you take, every move you make. Like, I know my wife. For those of you who are married here, you know your spouse, hopefully. But you know your spouse. Those of you who are not married, like, you know, maybe it's your siblings, maybe it's your parents. Like, when they call you, especially how many of you have that mother? Like, she calls you. I know that if my mom doesn't even need to say anything. She has this thing she does with her teeth. Like any of you, but she does this thing. Like, and I used to always feel it when I was playing up in church, because I was that kid in church that myself and some of my friends who were in the church would be talking about everything but Jesus in the back of the church, you know. Because wrestling used to come on Saturday nights, so we'd be talking about who was wrestling the night before. Oh, did you see what happened to Ravishing Rick Rude and Ultimate Warrior? Oh, that was awesome! Oh. And my mom would be sitting near the front, because you know how pastors' wives sit up the front, and she's wearing the big white hat that can receive radio signals from Bulgaria. Like she's... She's got that thing. And you can feel the wind when she turns her head, because the hat just... And so she turns around and then she does the... Doesn't even say anything, just the short exhalation from between her teeth. You know, just, you know, like it, the air just shoots out of her teeth directly in my face. And that is sign language for wait till you get home. Any of y'all been there before? Like, any of y'all know what I... Hallelujah. So, and on the way home, you are praying to God like you know him, right? You didn't know him before, but now you act like you know him. Because, but now, you know, like, I'm crying in the back of my van. Samoans like to buy vans, by the way. Tongans too. You know, like we buy vans, and so I sit way at the back, like at the boot near the window wiper. Like I'm just like sitting as far away from my mom as possible. And I'm like, please, Lord, help her to get amnesia in Jesus' name so she will forget. Like my relationship at that point was completely inauthentic because all of a sudden, oh, now I know him, right? How many of you have ever met somebody like that? You're like when they can get something from you, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, cousin, he's my cousin. No, you were not my cousin. How are we related? Like, well, we went to the same pet store and bought dogs or something. You're like, no, we are not related. But all of a sudden, these people come out of the woodwork because they pretend to know you, but they're the sort of people that will approach God on that day and say, Lord, Lord. They'll say to him on that day, right? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Notice this. There's a lot of activity happening in his name, but we fail to know the one who owns that name. And therefore, there's the calling out twice. Lord, Lord. Again, you don't need to say the name twice if they know you, right? I don't care what Destiny's Child says. Say my name, say my name. No, Beyonce, if you say it twice, that means you don't know the person. You only need to say it once if you know him intimately. And what happens in this next verse is very sobering. Check this out. Verse 23, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Everybody say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. The word in the Greek there is the word ginosko, which is a word that speaks about the intimacy that we have with God. Again, some of you will have heard me break down the two words that are most used for knowing in the New Testament. The two Greek words are oida, everybody say oida, and ginosko. Everybody say ginosko. Now, oida, the Greek word oida means you know how to operate well in that thing. So the more you oida something, the more you know how to operate with that thing. So for instance, because I've been a musician now for 35 plus years, I oida my keyboard. I know how to play it. I know how to do certain things with music because I'm familiar. I know how to operate in that function. Gnosko, though, speaks of a relational intimacy that you can have with a person, specifically your spouse. And that should be the sort of relationship you have with God. But so many of us actually function in our Christianity with the relationship with God on the level of oida. We know about him a ton. In the same way, it would be sickening for me to go up there and ginosko that keyboard. Like rub it down, oh, keys. No, that's sickening. It's the same way, if you reverse it, it's sickening for us to even think that we can enter into this relationship with God based on oida, knowing how to operate in Christianity, but not knowing him. Do you know him, and does he know you? Oh, of course he knows you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head and other parts of your body. He knows yourself so intricately, more than you know yourself. But have you pursued him? Do you know him today? If you're wondering why you struggle in the same area of sin, my question to you would be, do you know him in that area? Or do you choose your own path of knowing how to operate, oida, within that facility, or rather experience the gnosko power of God in that avenue, in that area of your life? And I'm just going to end with this thought here. I'm just going to show you this picture. From a distance, it would look like somebody who is coming to this nation next year in March, Bruno Mars. Any Bruno Mars fans in here? But some of you are right in looking at that picture going, that's not Bruno Mars. That's Pluto Mars. That's not Bruno Mars. And you would be right in saying that. This is an impersonator of Bruno Mars. Now imagine if I dressed up like this impersonator and went to his concert in March and I saw him like he's walking back to the dressing room, right? And I run over to where he is. Say, hey, Bruno! 24 karat magic in the air. Like, hey, I've got all your albums, even the ones you don't want people to hear. See, because I know you grew up in Hawaii, I'm Polynesian. I know you're part Pinoy, my wife's a Pinoy. I know you're from Puerto Rico, I like J-Lo too. Like, I relate, man. I've got all the DVDs, the VHS, the Betamax, I got everything on you, man. I know you so well. Even like the blanket on my bed is like a Bruno Mars blanket. Can you believe it? Yeah, that's right. Look, I even learned your dance routines from put your pinky ring up to the moon. Yeah, like I know your stuff, man. I know you, Bruno. I know you. What do you think? How do you think Bruno Mars would respond to me? Dressed like that, looking like that, approaching him backstage at Suncorp Stadium. Do you think he'd be happy to see me because he knows me? Right? Like, I was even singing for him. You're so amazing, just the way you are. Come on, Bruno. I listen to you in the hardest times. And it's so awesome to see you again, bro. What do you think, Bruno? How do you think Bruno Mars will respond to me or react to me? He will. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. My Tifa on the floor, that's exactly what will happen, right? The security will come and take me away because why? I do not know him. So picture the day, my brothers and sisters, when we stand before God and we say, do you realize how many Bible plans I read in your name, Jesus? Do you realize how many times I attended that church? Jesus, do you realize how many times I went to life group? I went to Leadership 215. I've been a part of different churches. You know, God, I stand before you like I know you. Do you know him? Or will the response be similar to the one of Bruno Mars towards us? If I dressed the part, if I looked the part, if I ran up to him pretending to be the part, but end up in a place that I totally regret. Jesus, I know. Paul, I recognize. But who are you? Do you know him today? See, religion and religious activity will not suffice. It's a relationship with God. Understanding the grace that has been afforded to us. We get a backstage pass. We get a VIP seat. We get to go everywhere that the King of all kings will take us because he has given us that access to heavenly places because of the blood of Jesus that he shed for us. But the question I ask you is, do you want to know him? Do you know him? Or are you in this place playing religious games? I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to stop. Don't go another day settling for religion, settling for this empty existence of not knowing this God but playing churchianity. That's not what Jesus laid his life down for. He laid his life down to know you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.